From Flourish DX, this is the Psych Health and Safety Podcast. With workplace mental health becoming a safety prerogative, this is the source of information on psychological injury prevention and health promotion.
Hi, my name is Peter Kelly, and I'm one of your hosts for the UK Psych Health and Safety Podcast. And today, I've got Hayley with me, and it's just the two of us.
Just the two of us, Pete.
Just, it's like song, isn't it? Just the two of us. How are you, Hayley? Have you been on any holidays? I know you like traveling and what have you.
Yes, actually. I popped over to France about a week ago. A very last minute decision. And just, I mean, the big thing about this is I caught the coach from Victoria Coach Station. It was verylastminute.com, which means I caught the coach to Dover, got on the ferry, got across to Calais, and then eventually into Paris. It was about 11 hours. Bit of an adventure to go to Disneyland for a day and flew back the following day. So, yeah, definitely got me out of my comfort zone, that's for sure.
Disneyland for the day. Which bit did you enjoy the most at Disneyland?
Well, everybody keeps asking me.
Was it the princess?
It was with a 20-month-year-old, so I didn't get to enjoy any of the adult rides. I went on the teacups, the Peter Pan little jet, and really, I guess my inner child came out for the better half of 10 hours in the sideways rain. So, resilience at its utmost.
I know, but I love Disneyland. I don't really like roller coasters. The ones at Disneyland are just easy and just nice. And the ghost train.
You're a Peter Pan person, are you? Just a little airplane will do it for you.
Well, yeah. Somebody call
How
me
have you
Peter
been, Pete?
One. Sorry?
How have you been?
How have I been? Oh, well, I've been conferencing. I've been going everywhere. A couple of conferences. I went to the NEC and some others. So, yeah, it's been good to get back out. Talk to people and to see what people are doing. So I was a couple of weeks ago. I was in Malaga, which was quite nice. I'm going to Ibiza in June. Yeah. So do a spot of raving. it should be good, though, you know. It's interesting. Obviously going out more now and going to conferences.
Yes,
flurry. Of well-being organisations that have just come out and they're everywhere. And when you walk around the conference centre, so many are still really largely focused on the individual, individual well-being rather than organisational well-being and, individual mental health and that. So, and I don't know, I'm always optimistic and hopeful that one day we'll actually get to a situation where we put the same amount of value on what the organisation does to manage psychosocial risk with, as we put on, putting a bit onus and responsibility on the individual. I mean, have you been to conferences recently yourself and seen that, or am I just sort of seeing too much into it?
No, Pete, I will hold my hand up and say this year I have not yet been to any conferences, and it's probably been a bit of an act of choice in not to go to some of the ones that I have been to in the years previous, probably because of some of the things you've mentioned, this approach to well-being that we are seeing on the ground versus the systemic changes that need to be made. And I think this is such a great topic for us to explore. The individual-based approach focuses on that. How are we either reacting to ill health or promoting flourishing, but on an individual basis? We're not yet getting into that. How do we prevent ill health and what responsibility do organisations have? And I know I'm moving a little bit away from conferences and these events where we're speaking about well-being, but it makes me think of a conversation I had recently with a fellow colleague, not in my organization, but in the well-being space, who actually is starting to talk about the way we approach well-being rather than a parent-child. So rather the organization is the parent and the employee is the child, actually adult to adult. And I found that a fascinating analogy.
And it is, because actually, it's even if you think about, like, we both had the joy of going through the 45,003 experience, and they do talk about there as the parent standard, don't they, is 45,001 and 45,003. But the systemic nature is really, really important. I think that relationship needs to be a really, it's much more defined, not like, as you say, like parent, child, but it's got to be much more level-headed, hasn't it? And there's enough evidence to suggest that interventions at organisations, as we know from Anthony Lemontade's work and others, are going to be more effective. But I think we have to transfer that knowledge to well-being, to physical, psychological well-being, mental health, and it's out there, but it's just not being used. It's incredibly, like, we can give you the evidence. But how do we make the evidence attractable? That's the question, isn't it? How do you make the evidence that we've got attractable to organisations to think, well, actually, I'll look at the organisation elements. Like, if I'm going into an organisation, I want to understand how they think about mental health. I want to understand their maturity on understanding what the word psychosocial means or what well-being is. And to do that, you need to look at a gap, you know, a gap analysis of what's going on and think, well, what's missing? And I think that's the thing, is that I think sometimes we can take something off the shelf and go, here it is on well-being, and assume it does what it says on the tin. But the evidence needs to be a bit more strong and robust. And you're very evident.
I think a lot of organizations are still riding the wave of, we got ourselves into COVID, or we found ourselves in the middle of COVID, and organizations were saying, what do we do for our people? Those organizations that did nothing at least started to become aware of the need to do something. But I think there was potentially a place where we were reacting without really understanding the needs of the people. So we started to take these things off the shelf and very much seem to be doing something, but maybe not realizing the impact. And it's almost like a whole re-education piece. It's not just about doing something to say we're doing something because LinkedIn says we should be doing something about X, Y, and Z. We should be doing something because we've listened to our employees, we understand their needs, and then we can put the right thing in place to have the right impact that can be measurable. And then you kind of close that whole loop. But I think another piece of that is we shouldn't just be doing well-being. You know, I've often said, I don't really like this word, well-being, because it's an isolated agenda item. We're still struggling, I think, to weave it into the narrative that it is culture. It is a culture shift. And to your point, until we shift the thinking around culture, are we going to see the systemic change, or are we going to continue to see it being ad hoc initiatives to support the need at the moment rather than seeing the bigger picture in terms of all elements of an organization that impact well-being? I mean, it's not just mental health. Well-being is not just mental health. Mental health or mental ill health is often an effect of things that are happening in the organization, and therefore we tend to focus on fixing the mental health problem. But why is it a problem in the first place? Because there are other factors at play.
There are, and there are other factors that Matt perhaps I don't want to look at. And this is the thing that you you can tick a box and go, I'll look at this and I'll do this and think you've achieved something, but then you don't know. And that's the other factors. You know, we talked a bit about the ESG agenda, right? The ESG agenda, for example, has started out very much around the physical elements of the work environment. However, we know work is not in isolation from both psychological and physical elements. And actually, we should be arguing that to create the right work environments that create sustainability, then we need to have the psychological, psychology and psychological aspects of work right in the forefront, don't they? And that, for me, is using the flavour of the month, as it is, to actually get our message across. Maybe there's something about that flavour of the month, isn't it? There's these things that come up, and suddenly everyone wants to do it, and then it disappears. But there's always been a consistent factor in the midst of all that, which is people's psychological health has been impacted by the way work has been designed. So I think, I remember, you know, when we started talking about, we were talking about emotional resilience, and then we talked about mindfulness, and then we were talking before that about presenteeism, and before that, we were talking about behavioral safety and then psychological safety.
So yeah.
Throughout the last 20 years in this field, multiple things have come along. We just sort of maybe trying to latch onto that. But I think we have to be crystal clear that what we're talking about here is the way people work that makes them healthy, keeps them sustained in work, helps them to flourish in the correct work environment. And I'm not sure we always do ourselves a favour by constantly attaching it to a label and going, we'll do this, and then we'll do this, and we'll do that. It should exist in its own right, really. And let's say what it is. You know, let's be crystal clear that it's a relationship between the employer and the employee when it comes to managing the physical and psychological demands of their job.
Hi, listeners. Jason here. We hope you're enjoying this latest podcast episode. Now, if you're like Joelle, Alicia, and myself and enjoy learning from the best, then the Flourish DX Academy is for you. The Academy includes free e-learning courses on the ISO 45003 standard for psychological health and safety at work and associated topics such as how to conduct a psychosocial risk assessment and how to create the business case for psych health and safety. All courses feature high-quality videos, downloadable resources, multi-choice questions, and a downloadable training certificate on completion. Take your learning to the next level with all Flourish DX Academy courses included within the Flourish DX mobile app. Select podcast episodes from the Psych Health and Safety podcast and sister podcasts from Canada and the USA are also included. Get started with Flourish DX for free at www.flourishdx.com/get-started. That's www.flourishdx.com/get-started. Now back to this episode.
It comes back to like language for me, and you're so right. I mean, you've been in this space a lot longer than I have, but even the time I've been, the way things change, we're changing things very much based on reacting. And yes, we need to be agile to be able to react to certain socioeconomic climates, absolutely. But fundamentally, psychological health and safety is a systems approach. So the system shouldn't change. The system should be able to identify psychosocial hazards or the hazards in the workplace that are going to have a negative impact and be able to... The only change that should be happening is how often is that happening? How severe are those hazards impacting our people? And then we change according to that. We don't change the whole system every single time. We change according to the needs within that framework. And I think again, I come back to the word well-being. And even the word psychological safety, which I think has become the next buzzword, well-being was the buzzword, psychological safety is now the buzzword. People get fixed on the word, people get fixed on creating this space for people to bring their whole selves to work. But they forget that we still need a workplace that needs to be designed well for them to do good work. Because you can bring your whole self to work.
And what's the whole self, Hayley? What is the whole self?
I mean, we're going to need another podcast episode to explore this.
Because I bring the whole self. Is the whole self is just the good bits? The whole self is the whole self. It means you might be not. You might get a little bit annoyed before you come into work. Are you not allowed then to bring that side into work? Actually, it will influence what your reactions and responses, but it's still the whole self, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know what? I've been doing some reading and people say, I don't agree with this. I don't agree with bringing my whole self to work. It depends on who I'm sitting in front of. Regardless of whether you're at work or whether you're at the pub or whether you're around your grandma's, your whole self is very sometimes dependent on the environment in which you're in. So again, the whole narrative about bringing your whole self to work, there's the other side of that coin, but the only constant for me is the environment. Again, coming back to what is the responsibility of the employer? The environment, not the individual. And this is where we have, rather than an adult-child relationship, which if you haven't noticed, I'm quite liking this analogy, the adult, we will give you the environment for you to flourish and you will bring your adult self to work, and together, all part of consultation, participation, which is one of the requirements, we will create an environment where you can thrive. But it's not this, let's focus on the individual and let's make sure that they have got all the support that they need. Where's the environment for them to be able to use those tools?
Yeah.
You know,
it's almost like it's second, third or fourth choice. You know, after the, I don't really, until organizations can actually look at their line, their profit lines, be whichever sector they're in, and they can actually see a correlation between improvement on the bottom line through doing these top line services of looking after. And I think, you know, that will be one of the advantages, I think, of the original Dennis Stevenson review from the Farmer Stevenson Farmer Review, was this idea of people reporting, the board reporting.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're at that stage again, and I think we should be at, not to say again, it needs to happen, because there are different people that get different influences, don't they? So if it's the board, they want an overarching strategic sort of approach to facilitate that. You have to have management below who get that vision, below that and other managers, and you know, eventually onto the shop floor. And I think our messaging has to be different for each of those sectors and those elements, yeah? But in saying that they have to be different, there has to be some core elements to what we mean by good, psychologically healthy workplaces. And I think that's part of our mission, part of our approach, is to say, what is a good psychological health and safety in a practical sense look like? What's the benefits? How does it make organizations healthier? Did you know yesterday was the world, the International Happiness Day?
Was it yesterday?
Yesterday or the day before? Okay. I remember sitting there going, so one day a year we celebrate happiness.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what? So you're happy today, but what if you're not tomorrow or the day after? Well, it's okay, because for one day you've celebrated being happy. I get immensely frustrated with tokenism.
Yeah.
This what we're trying to create here is safe, healthy workplaces. And if you do that, you get happiness and contentment from your employers because you're looking after their well-being.
Yeah. It's a system within a system.
It is, yeah.
And I'm not going to get too political because that's definitely not the type of podcast that we want. But the system that larger corporations play within and the requirement to report on certain things or to be able to win business through tenders because we're reporting on certain things. You know, that metric is still very much focused on commercial outputs. And yes, the sustainability agenda, as in sustainability with a big S, focusing specifically on carbon neutrality or that kind of thing, that has become front and center for a lot of those. And we're starting to see things like ED&I and health and well-being feature, but it's still not a big enough metric. And that plays into the system of an organization. You know, what does the wider system want? What is which speaks to our leaders in our organization and creates the environment in which we operate. And I think coming back
I'm not even sure EDI and health and wellbeing do even feature in the system. Do you know what I mean? In the sustainability argument that people are talking about, I think people have lost sight of a whole element of work because of these focuses on that and not got ourselves back into it. You can't have ESG without having people who are healthy.
Yeah.
They're not healthy, they're not ESG. The environment's wrong, sustainability issues, and you've got poor governance. And it was like, well, you know, I'll come back to it a few times. It's something that I think that's part of that argument point, isn't it? To say, get it right, just get it right. And if we get that right, I think then we'll start to see a movement in the way things are provided around a much more structural approach. I hope so. Or we've probably wasted 20 years of our life. Not 20 years, 25 years of believing that actually people can go home healthy. Psychologically healthy with a leg or an arm, which is directly correlated to their psychological health, by the way.
You raise a really good point about the ESG agenda. I think the other thing that well-being is struggling with at the moment is where it sits, because it's trying to find a home where it will have the most impact. You know, is that through the ESG agenda? Is it through the safety agenda? Is it through the ED&I, the belonging, the culture agenda? And I think it's obviously different for every organization, but I think that is a challenge because you can be spread so thinly trying to align with different things within your organization to get the messaging across that it doesn't actually land as powerfully as it could as if it was in one area. And I know obviously we within the psych health and safety space and the work you speak about, you've seen the benefits and how good safety has been turned around as in physical safety.
But it's only been turned around. Apart from the reason it's been turned around is we've looked at those performance and influencing factors. Those psychosocial factors that constitute behind why an accident might occur, why a safety incident happens as it does, because you consider the human element into it, the human contact, how the human becomes part of the safety that's in there. So we've kind of been doing it
Right.
But we've got we do it when we have to understand how do we learn from something that's gone wrong. What were the human elements that went into it? And people go, switch cheese bottle, remember? Primary understand, how you understand how an accident occurs.
Yeah. And the fourth element. Why have we separated it? Why are we trying to remold or remesh together safety, which is already considering the human elements, and mental health? Something's gone awry, right?
It's a good question, isn't it? Because there isn't, they're both interrelated to each other.
Exactly.
Unless there's a dynamic system failure, humans are part of that process. And that's why, the Swiss cheese model is where it is, because it considers systemic structuralism, and it also comes down to the user or the individual, and it considers that. So, and that's been around since what, 1950s, always longer. Because that was all the way back around this roundabout to the term psychological safety.
And comes back to your opening statement, which was around the number of innovative products that have come about to be able to support the mental health and well-being of people within the organisation. It does full circle, doesn't it? Because in safety, there's the human element. We've got mental health. Are we trying to bridge a gap? And are we bridging the correct gap? It's that plaster analogy. Are we putting a plaster over the issue rather than dealing with the system, which is the environment?
Does no one look at that when you're considering what the outcome is of the way things have gone? Why are we not, by default, realizing that our people they are our biggest strength? And what we need to do, like, we protect a machine, don't we? We've got a big machine that's worth £1.5 million or dollars, depending on which you're listening. We could put protection to make sure that machine doesn't break.
Yeah.
But you don't assume, you wait for them to break, and then you go, we'll do something now. And it's an irrational position, which is completely at odds to the very way we perceive health and safety, which is to prevent harm at source.
But also, like that machine, they're our knowledge capital. People are knowledge. People are that piece around innovation, that's what our people are here for. That conversation around, yes, we should do it because it's the right thing to do. And I think you posed this question to me earlier, is what language are we going to have to use to land in the fact that, yes, we're still using lagging indicators like absenteeism, turnover rate, health and safety incidents. When are we going to see people spend the money to mitigate that so that those actually get reduced? But it's a capital investment up front rather than, it's like the chicken and the egg scenario. What's it going to take to really get those changes?
I don't think we get parity until we see the same level of investment in well-being and psychosocial risk. And until we see that, I think we're always going to be chasing it. And actually, the mental health of your employees is categorically linked to the success of your company, isn't it? And if your company's connected, then you're going to be okay. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You couldn't have said it better.
Well, I probably could, but and I thought, I think half an hour listening to me is probably enough for people. But But yeah, let's give psychosocial health the same parity as physical health, as safety. Let's start investing in people. Imagine had we not invested in most of the safety initiatives that we've done over the last 50 years, where would we be now? We wouldn't be in the same place.
And I'd love to pose a question to the audience or to the listeners that will be listening back to us. But we've asked each other a lot of questions and we've given some strong views. And there are also some gaps. And we'd love to know from you, you know, what do you think about some of this conversation that we're having? Drop comments below, get in touch with us, and perhaps be a guest on a future podcast. We'd love to continue to explore, you know, what are the barriers? When are we going to be able to achieve parity? And what kind of needs to change? Where do we need to challenge the status quo, as we love to do, don't we, Pete?
I think so, yes. I never set out to be a challenger, but some things have to be challenged. I just think some things are just, for me, just not acceptable. We have to constantly seek to make sure we make places healthier and happier for people. And obviously people can watch us on YouTube as well and various other platforms. So then you get to hear our voices in multiple platforms. And multiple it's been lovely to talk to Hayley and spend a little bit of time and just really, you know, talk around the area, which we're both passionate about. But every time I go to these environments where I see multiplicity of things, it just stimulates my brain to go, yeah, but
yeah.
I want more, you know. I hope I never lose that.
Right, well, excellent. I'm looking forward to seeing you in person soon at some of the upcoming events.
You are indeed. I do indeed look forward to seeing you. We'll have a beer or a glass of wine or a coffee as well.
Depending on the time.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you to our listeners. Catch us on, like you said, YouTube, LinkedIn, and we will be back soon. Take care. Cheers, Pete.
You've been listening to the Psych Health and Safety Podcast. To stay up to date with the latest on psychological injury prevention, follow Flourish DX on LinkedIn and subscribe to the Psych Health and Safety Podcast at www.psychhealthandsafety.com.